We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are so glad to have you. So glad to have you. And it was interesting because in the last hour, we were talking about Mike McCarthy, and we were talking about if you took Bill Belichick out of the mix, how good is Mike McCarthy and all that kind of stuff. And people were kind of taken aback by that, as if we're doing some kind of PR for Mike McCarthy. I'm just looking at the bare numbers, okay? So I've got all kinds of people chiming in on this. All kinds of people chiming in. But when you start looking at all of the numbers, okay, you start looking at things. Who are the greatest coaches ever versus who is the greatest coach right now? You know what I mean? So, because the Beef Cat said, think about this, Joe Gibbs, he won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. None of them are in the Hall of Fame. We never talk about Joe Gibbs or Don Shula, for that matter, enough. Tremendous coaches. I agree. Three Super Bowls. That's got to get you there. Hall of Famer. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Bradley says, to play the devil's advocate here regarding the third down conversion rate from the misinformed caller, I'm curious what the percentage difference is between the top 10 and the bottom 10, only because if Rodgers gets 1 to 2 free plays on third down, how much does that improve conversions and has nothing to do with Mike McCarthy's ability? He gets maybe one of those a game. You know, I mean, sure, it can make a difference if indeed it happens on third down. Aaron Rodgers does it whenever, not just on third down. Just so you know. I mean, I don't, you know, how many times did somebody jump off sides for somebody else? You know what I mean? You would have to take all of that into consideration. The boss said, the caller said third and one, not just third down. Well, I don't care if it, well, he did say third one and third and four. It's the same thing. My argument is third down conversion rate is third down conversion rate. I mean, if you're going to get into the micromanaging of a number to try to make your point, then you've lost your point. You know what I mean? The numbers are what they are. Danport says, boy, oh boy, must be nice to live in that Green Bay fan bubble. Living in Los Angeles, I have a lot of friends who are fans of other teams. They'd all kill to have Mike McCarthy as their head coach. Appreciate what you have, Rodgers or not, wins or wins. JR says, okay, so Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson lucked into Rodgers. What does that say about GMs and coaches who passed to him? Also, coach totally remade his mechanics. People tend to forget that. Let's see here. What else? This one's from Mark, who says, I never realized Mike McCarthy was that high on the coaching scale. I don't necessarily look at him as a great X's and O's coach, but to get that many wins, you have to be a good motivator of men. I guess we take that for granted. What else does Brad say? Brad tweeted us. This thing blew up. I mean, it was just, James says, where does Belichick sit all time with winning percentage? How about Lombardi? Bill Belichick, one of the winningest coaches of all time. not only regular season, but postseason as well. Now, I'd have to go back and look at all-time winning percentage. I don't have it sitting in front of me. I'll find it for you. But again, this becomes, you talk about who is good and who isn't. And all I'm saying is, for those that, you know, say, well, they didn't go far enough, McCarthy's not a good coach, he can't do this, he can't do that. I say, well, wait a minute. I don't necessarily agree that Mike's the best coach ever. He has certainly made mistakes, and there are times that I have been critical. I will 100% agree with you on that. But for those that have the dramatic overreaction that everything sucks all the time and there's just nothing but negative to say, you're wrong. I mean, the numbers bear it out. It's not me saying you're wrong. The numbers bear it. Don't look that stupid. You're a better fan base than that. You just are. There are times that Mike McCarthy, go back to 2014. That third quarter, they had a lead. They were commanding in that ball game. What people tend to forget is, on the bright side, they shouldn't have been in that ball game. That was a dominant Seattle team. And McCarthy got his guys in place to win that ball game when nobody thought they were going to win going into Seattle, remember? We all picked them to lose. You picked them to lose. And they had that game. Bostic doesn't go up and get the ball. They win the game. Julius Peppers doesn't tell Morgan Burnett to slide. They win the game. You know, I mean, it just, you can go through the lid. There was 12 things in that ball game that caught, I mean, they don't convert on that two-point conversion. When you had Clay Matthews and guys pulling guys off the field, rookies on the backside, they win that ball game. You know, all those little things. But those are the two big things. Bostic and Julius Peppers telling Morgan Burnett to go down. Those two things, big time, just those two plays cost them the ball game. And then you take the play calling that got really conservative in the third quarter, and that also allowed Seattle to gain momentum. Defensively, they took the momentum away from the Green Bay Packers. And I was screaming at the time, stick with what got you there. So there I can say, yep, that's Mike. But the rest of that, that's just dumb plays. That's dumb players being dumb.
Then there was the Clay Matthews thing.
And Clay Matthews pulling himself off the field.
Right. That McCarthy didn't know about.
And that led to Mike McCarthy giving up the play calling.
Changing everything.
And the next year being horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific. Remember, in 2015, after that 2014 season, in 2015, Mike McCarthy gave up the play calling. So for those that say, well, that was Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy gave up the play calling. They were 28th in the league overall in offense. 28th in the league on third down conversion. Until he finally said, you know what, I'm taking it back. And then things got better. Well, but remember, that was also when Jordy went down. Right. They couldn't figure things out.
And Aaron Rodgers was not Aaron Rodgers.
No, he was not.
And we have all the different opinions on that.
So it just, the year he didn't have it was the year they were outside of the top 10. Every other year that he's had the play calling, they've been in the top 10.
You know what's funny? That 2015 season, that defense kept them in a lot of those games.
Yeah, it did.
Considering how bad the offense was,
yeah, it did.
The defense actually was pretty good that year. People forget that.
So my point being is, for those that are looking for a reason to hate on McCarthy, you're going to find it. You can say, okay, this third down conversion rate when Aaron Rodgers doesn't get the call when he tries to get somebody to jump off sides and the free plays that they've scored on and this and that. See, without Rodgers doing that, it's Mike McCarthy's a bad coach. Okay. On odd number days, on away games, when they wear white uniforms and socks that are made by Under Armour and not by Nike. Okay. If you're going to get into that statistic, get into games in which Aaron Rodgers played not up to Aaron Rodgers' numbers because at that period of time he was dating Olivia Munn. You know, that's the conspiracy-minded person. 855-830-8648. We are heading over to Minneapolis-St. Paul. Hopefully next year we're talking about going to Atlanta and seeing the Green Bay Packers there. But this year we're going to bring you all the pageantry, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Signature Limo. Check out Pat and Brooke and everybody over at Signature Limo. Book info or info at booksignature.com. Info at booksignature.com. That's where you can find out more information because they're just great people, and they'll get you to wherever you need to go, whether it's a great night out or if you got to get to the airport on time and they want to do it, by all means do it right there. Info at booksignature.com. ABC Audio Video. Chris and the gang over there. Tonight, we're giving away the big screen TV from Chris So go to abcaudiovideo.com, abcaudiovideo.com, and our terrific friends, at our new friends this year, Social Style Dance. If you have two left feet, you want to get rid of one of them, socialstyledance.com, socialstyledance.com, and our friends at Auto Paint and Supply, whether it's a car, whether it's industrial, whether it's a fleet of cars, or even marine, they've got you covered, family-owned, numerous locations throughout the state of Wisconsin. GoAutoPaint.com. That's GoAutoPaint.com. Let's get back to the phone calls. Talk to Douglas from Dallas. But he's actually, where's he at, in Sussex? Douglas, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Outsider looking in, Bill. Outsider looking in.
Sure, give it to me.
Hey, man, I don't think it's necessarily third down conversion right there. Everybody's got a problem. I think it's more or less his timing. He always makes a bonehead call late in the third, late in the fourth, when the clock's running out and the ticky-ticky, everybody's yelling, snap the ball. I mean, you can hear people, I'm at the pub, and everybody's yelling, snap the ball, do something. You know, it's a fourth and six, and he runs it up the middle, and it's a third one, and he calls a 30-yard pass play. But how much of that is Aaron Rodgers optioning off?
You know what? That's a great question, and I appreciate the phone call, because, see, this is what I get into with people when they get into the Mike McCarthy play-calling thing. If there's a package on the field where they can do run-pass option, and I have told you this time and again, I had a conversation, a sit-down with Aaron Rodgers specifically, because it drives me crazy. Third and one. You're seeing a 30-yard pass play. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? So years ago, I went to Aaron Rodgers, and I said, look, it drives me nuts. I got to figure out what the philosophy is. Is this you? Is this Mike? Whatever. He said, okay, this is what we do at the line of scrimmage. We third and one situation, we have a play call. There's always an option to get out of it. Okay? I said, okay. This is what we do. He goes to the line of scrimmage. As he's walking to the line, he looks and sees where the defensive backs are and who's got who. If they have a likable matchup, that's where he's going. He's automatically looking at the matchup, and he's saying, okay, if I see Jordy on, say, a safety has got Jordy with only single high safety coverage, Jordy's the guy, he's the hot read, I give him a look, give him a hand waggle, whatever, that's the hot read, that's where I'm going. I'll waggle out of the run call, I'll immediately call whatever it should be, and change it, line of scrimmage, because I know my percentages of hitting Jordy and picking up a big yardage gain on the outside are better than them stacking the box and trying to stuff the run. That's what they do. So if he looks over and they've got a linebacker on Randall Cobb, and that linebacker's slow coming out of the slot, he knows he's going to Randall Cobb. Third down. That's where he's going. He's always looking for the mismatch. It's not Mike McCarthy calling the play. It's Mike McCarthy calling the package formation. And after that, Aaron Rodgers gets to the line of scrimmage. So it's not always McCarthy in the play calling. And that's what you can't disseminate, is which is McCarthy, which is Rodgers. Did McCarthy send out to dictate the defense the right package? You know, if he sent out a fullback, two running backs, say an inverted wishbone, and two tight ends, and they don't get it because they're stacking the box and the defense has been owning the line of scrimmage, that's on Mac. But if they have two wideouts, a tight end, running back and a fullback, and Aaron Rodgers looks at it and goes, you know what? Mike McCarthy called a dive play with the lead back being the fullback for the blocking. Here you go. And he runs that play, and they get it or don't get it, whatever. But if he sees it, McCarthy called a run play, and Aaron's going, wait a minute, on the outside, I can get this guy. And let's just say Jordy slips coming out of a set, or Randall slips, or Devontae slips, or maybe there's a good pass and it's just off the fingertips, and you're thinking, what are you doing going for third down and two, and you're throwing it 20 yards downfield to Devontae Adams, and it comes off his fingertips, stupid percentage play. They like that matchup. They'll take that every damn day of the week, and nothing, you or I going crazy, just screaming about it, will change their mind. Nothing.
Which game was it this season where, going into it, a lot of Packer fans wanted Mike McCarthy to expand the playbook with Brett Hundley.
And he did. And it was a dismal failure.
And then it backfired. And then it's Mike McCarthy's fault.
It was, God.
Was it Cleveland or Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I think it was Tampa Bay.
Or was it Baltimore?
It was, they played New Orleans right after Aaron got hurt.
Right.
Okay. So right after Aaron got hurt, because that was when he was conservative, he opened up a little bit more against
Detroit.
It was Baltimore.
Yeah, it was Baltimore. Because coming off that Bears win.
Because he beat the Bears in come-from-behind fashion.
Those two great throws.
Gutted it out. So he said, here you go. Go ahead and open it up. And the Ravens beat the hell out of him. It was the Ravens. Because they didn't score. It was at home. They got blanked at home. And they opened up the playbook. And he was throwing it all over the place. Threw some picks. He had six picks at home and no touchdown passes.
Multiple opportunities to win that game.
And they ended up losing, what was it, 23-0. 23-0, okay.
And then the Pittsburgh game was the following week where Hundley had...
And he did everything perfectly, and they ended up barely losing to Pittsburgh before they came back home and got a win over the Buccaneers. So, yeah, it was that Ravens game when he finally opened it up and said, okay, looks like Brett Hundley's a guy. He earned our trust. Great come-from-behind win. Did it with a hamstring, remember. Right. Tweaked his hammy in Chicago. So here we go. Going to open it up, and, man, completely crapped the bed in that ball game.
Are you serious?
Serious. It was awful. Sure is. This portion of the program being brought to you by Cousin Subs, where they believe in better.
Stay positive, man.
I'm trying. I am positive that I love the pepperoni melt. Go in and order the Bill Michaels. Extra mayo, extra cheese. Put it on the Italian bread. Radio Joe cheese curds. If they look at you like you have six heads, say, woo! Learn it, live it, love it, know it. You got to know it when you walk through the door. That's what you order. Go into Cousin Subs and demand it. Go to CousinSubs.com. More of the Bill Michaels show next.
God bless you.
The idea of this day coming is one that you really have a hard time letting yourself go to think about because you don't want to jinx anything. And so while it's finally here, to ultimately have the reality hit, it's hard to describe. Certainly Petco and Qualcomm, when it got rolling with the Hell's Bells, and Chip Bowers, who's now in the NBA, coming through with a great song that, you know, was in the same time frame as Wild Thing and Major League 2 and their whole ambiance they wanted to create is something that we're able to do here in San Diego.
Are the words of Trevor Hoffman. Remember him? Remember that? You'd hear those Hell's Bells start to ring. Everybody at Miller Park got up. I mean, it started at Petco. I get it when he was with San Diego, but you'd hear it. Place would go nuts. Yeah. Trevor Hoffman going to the Hall of Fame. And man, what an interesting group. What an interesting group of players that are going in. 855-830-8648 if you want to jump on board real quick. Chipper Jones going in. Chipper Jones, Vladimir Guerrero, Jim Thome, Trevor Hoffman. Then there was Jack Morris, Alan Trammell, elected in December by the Modern Era Committee. They're going to have six living players giving speeches on July 29th and electing four new members. The Baseball Writers Association of America matched its generosity from 2015. That was when Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, and Craig Biggio were all elected. Edgar Martinez, by the way, disappointing result for Martinez, who was polling as high as 81%. In the Ryan Thibodeau Hall of Fame tracker a week ago. He plummeted in the final tally, however. Also Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, the sixth year on the ballot for Bonds and Clemens. And that time has allowed a little more perspective on how to view their candidacies. They received a significant boost a couple of years ago when the Hall of Fame purged the numbers of voters. I think they've been helped by the election of, some suspected performance enhancing drug users, as well as a commissioner who presided over the era. The totals were 57.3% for Clemens, 56.4% for Bonds. But that's only a couple of percentage points increase from last year. There is still a lot of people saying that ain't happening. Curt Schilling, bloody sock effort in the World Series and all, appeared on the ballot a year before Mike Mussina did. They've been on 6 and 5 years now. Very strong candidates with similar career value. Schilling had a higher peak, plus his great postseason record. Mike Mussina retired with 270 wins, had a very strong career. Schilling was ahead of Mussina until 2016. And remember, he got kind of goofy with all of his political views, and I think that actually might have hurt him. It appears Schilling's controversial political comments have perhaps hurt him as well, in that sense that he has dropped percentage points over the years. But that's it. That's it. That's the way it goes. Trevor Hoffman, Chipper Jones, heading in. Vlad Guerrero. Boy, that guy had a... That guy could flat out hit. 92.9% of the vote going to Vlad Guerrero. Jim Thome playing all but two of his storied career with the White Sox. Trevor Hoffman playing a couple of years in Milwaukee. Got a chance to know him. Boy, he was really instrumental in showing that young pitching staff work ethic. I'll never forget that. So, and Chipper Jones was a no-brainer for the Atlanta Braves for what he did at third base for them for so many years. But that's your Hall of Fame voting as it kind of panned out for Major League Baseball. And a lot of excitement in getting guys that are going to be able to actually speak. We're not talking about either, one, a limited class, or two, posthumous guys going in. So, good stuff for Major League Baseball. This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light. Do not forget, we are going to our last huddle is tonight, 6 to 8. We're going to be out at the New Berlin Entertainment Center, the old New Berlin Ale House, Kuglitsch's Bowl, 6 to 8 tonight. Really, really looking forward to it. And we're going to be giving away the big screen TV, compliments of ABC Audio Video this evening. And this is our last one. Get a group together. Come on out. Now, it's not the last one forever. It's just the last one for the season, as next week we're going to be in Minneapolis. So, come on out tonight. It's all brought to you by our great friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Been with us now for 16 years we've been together. Bud Light and yours truly. So thanks to them for another terrific season. And we look forward to many, 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 many more, and hopefully more seasons that we're talking about the Green Bay Packers this deep into the postseason. Stay tuned when we come back. Speaking of the Packers, for those that don't know, he's a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He's a terrific writer. And he has Talk of Fame Sports Network as well. Rick Goslin, who is just an NFL guru, he is going to be presenting the case to the Veterans Committee as to why Jerry Kramer should be in the Hall of Fame. He is going to join us live and in person next on the Bill Michaels Show. Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are so glad that you are here today. And for any Packers fans that's out there, you know, I mean, for many, many years, he's been on the program numerous times. We have been joined by Jerry Kramer. Such a good guy. I think if I'm not mistaken, he just turned 84. 84 years old. Jerry's still kicking, still great mind, still getting it done. But the one thing that is elusive to Jerry's career has been the Hall of Fame. And many believe, specifically in this area, obviously, believe that he should be in the Hall of Fame. I believe he should be there. When you start to look at the numbers, you know he should be there. The votes for the Hall of Fame, when you talk about all-decade teams, all-century teams, I mean, his name's always synonymous with football, synonymous with the Vince Lombardi Packers. And to talk more about it, because don't just take my word for it. The guy that's going to make the pitch for him, Rick Goslin, the Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He's got the Talk of Fame Sports Network, writes down in Dallas as well. I've been following his stuff for a long, long time. Fantastic guy. Now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Rick, how you doing today, man?
Spectacular. How about you guys?
We are doing well. I certainly appreciate you taking a couple of minutes, because for those
my
that
pleasure.
It is so hard to quantify for those that haven't seen him. How good Jerry Kramer is and was, and what he meant to not only the National Football League, but obviously to the Green Bay Packers. So when you go make this pitch for Jerry and his, you know, what should be induction into the Hall of Fame, what do you say to that voting committee?
It's going to be a difficult sell, because outside of myself and maybe two or three other people, none of these people have ever seen Jerry Kramer play. And I saw him play in the 60s on television. I grew up in Detroit and saw the first two Super Bowls and, you know, the Ice Bowl and that 62 Thanksgiving game. So I saw, but I wasn't certainly not focused on guard play when I was 12 and 13 years old. But they're going to have 40, 44, 45 people have never seen Jerry Kramer play and probably know little about him. And my point on Kramer is he's the biggest oversight in Canton, the biggest omission. The Hall of Fame Selection Committee votes on the All-Decade Team. This committee voted Kramer one of the two guards on the 1960s team. This committee in 1969 was asked to select a 50th anniversary team. This committee voted Jerry Kramer, one of two guards, on the 50th anniversary team. And not only that, they voted the best player at each position in the first half century. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tackle, guard, center. And it was a who's who of pro football. 14 of the 15 players voted the best at what they did are enshrined. The only one not is Jerry Kramer. There's only two people on the 1960s all-decade team not enshrined. Jerry Kramer is one of them. How can this guy, how can this committee vote him all these honors and then turn around and not vote him into Canton? And that's, this is probably his final shot. This is the second time we brought him out as a senior. That's how strongly the senior feel, committee feels about him. This is probably his final shot. And I'm going to ask them, trust me, trust my committee, trust the people that saw Jerry Kramer play, that voted him the best guard in the first 50 years of the NFL.
People trust what it is you write. I mean, your special teams rank, there are guys that get bonuses if you put them in the special teams rankings that you write about. So that's what I'm saying. So for this committee to look at you and say, eh, I find it almost, I don't want to say appalling, but mystifying if they don't say, okay, I didn't see it, but this guy did, and this guy knows more than I do, although we know the pomposity of some writers, let's be honest, but right. How they don't put him in, I think, is beyond me. What do you think, other than just not being able to see him, what do you think has held him out this long?
Okay, I was in a room one time for Jerry Kramer. Back in the 80s, I was the Kansas City rep, and 87 was the year he was a finalist, the last time he was up as a modern-erring guy. Like, and we voted a guard in that year, Gene Upshaw. From 1968 through 1990, what's that, 30-some years?
Mm-hmm.
We voted one guard into the Hall of Fame, Upshaw. It's not like we were passing over Jerry Kramer for other better guards. We weren't putting in guards. There was no agenda to put in guards, which is why I think Jerry Kramer slid through 10 modern era sessions without ever getting voted in. We weren't putting in guards. It wasn't about Kramer. It was about the position he was playing. I mean, one guard in a couple decades, how can that be? And I think he suffered because he wasn't a stat guy. I think we've come around more. This committee does a little better job of recognizing greatness when there are no stats to back it. And I think if people back then would have done that, they would have recognized the greatness of Jerry Kramer without having the stats to back it. And yet he did have stats. For 2 years, he was a primary kicker. He scored 9 points when they beat the Giants 16-7 in that 62 title game. So he led the team in scoring with 91 points in 1963. This guy wasn't just a kicker. In my memory of the Packers, you know, beyond the quarterback sneak in the ice bowl, was that power sweep. Him coming around the corner, Fuzzy Thurston. And you got to be athletic and agile enough to block a moving target. That's the signature play of the Lombardi era. And Kramer was a signature player of that signature play. If you haven't seen him play, I don't know how you can say he's not a Hall of Famer. And that's the issue I've got. I'm going to say, look, trust the eyes of the committee that voted him the best guard in the first half century of football.
Here's something. I don't know if you knew this or not. Do you know about when Jerry ended up in the middle of his career, he ended up going to have some surgery for some stomach problems?
No, I'm not aware.
Here's something you can add to it, and he'll tell you this story. He's in the midst of his career. He ends up going to have surgery, has to shut it down for a while. And when they do the x-ray, they say, Jerry, you've got something in your stomach. There's something there. And it's pieces of wood. And he went, oh, I remember that.
I did hear that story.
Yeah. For those that didn't know, he was on his parents' farm. He was running, runs into a 2x4. It splinters off into his stomach, and the doctor thought he had it all. And they didn't.
I did remember the wood.
And he had an infection, and he had wood that he played with. He always was in pain, but couldn't figure. He just figured it was from muscular damage or something. Always was in pain. Played with that pain. He had slivers of wood that were actually embedded in his stomach lining. That's how deep this thing went. And the guy, you can't talk about any more toughness out of Jerry Kramer than a dude that was playing with a 2x4 in his gut.
Even with a 2x4 in his gut, he was voted the best guard in the first 50 years of football.
Yeah.
And that's the case. This committee voted him one of the 15 greatest players in the first half century. Now, why can't this committee put him in the Hall of Fame? I've said it time and time again. I've said it throughout Milwaukee and throughout Wisconsin and throughout Green Bay and throughout this nation. He's the biggest oversight missing from Canton.
Well, I know that there's a lot of people in the area that are hoping that you definitely draw the ears and the attention of the committee coming up this weekend. I talked to his daughter, Alicia. I know he's slowing down. He's not making as many rounds. We're going to talk to him next Thursday at this time, as a matter of fact. But hopefully we're talking about him getting in. I do want to ask you, I want to take a little bit further, but we were sitting here talking a little earlier about Mike McCarthy and coaching and such, and as much football knowledge as you have. We had said, take away Bill Belichick and his greatness, because in my opinion, and Gary Ellison, who used to be a Packers running back and Detroit Lions running back and such, Gary and I said last year, you're looking at the modern day Vince Lombardi, Bart Starr combination of Brady and Belichick for the number of championships and the way they do things. But if you take Bill Belichick out of the mix, with Mike McCarthy's winning percentage and what he's been able to accomplish, where would you put him then in the ranking of head coaches? And we just kind of went through this, and I looked and I said that nobody has a higher winning percentage that has, more than four seasons under their belt. Nobody has a higher winning percentage. Their postseason percentage, he's not the best, but he's in the top five. Where would you rank Mike McCarthy? Where would you put him? Because this year, people wanted to see him run out of town on a rail.
No, I'd have to do a little studying on it, but he's certainly in the top five. Now, here's the problem I've got with coaches. And people ask me who I think the best coach. First off, I think Lombardi's the greatest coach of all time. But I think the greatest coach of the Super Bowl era was Joe Gibbs. Because Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, and none of them are in the Hall of Fame. You look at every great coach, every dynasty. One coach, one quarterback. Paul Brown, Otto Graham. Lombardi, Starr. Noel Bradshaw, Walsh, Montana, Jimmy Johnson here in the 90s with Aikman, Belichick with Brady. They never won it without another quarterback. Shula couldn't win it with Marino. He had Greasy won it. Tom Landry had Roger Staubach. Every Hall of Fame coach except potentially Gibbs was a one quarterback champion. And that's the problem. If you want to find out how good Mike is when Aaron Rodgers is gone, Let's see how Mike is. And we're going to see when Brady leaves, what kind of coach Belichick is. I will say this about Belichick. Before Tom Brady was Tom Brady in those first four Super Bowls, that was a defensive team. Brady was not a guy throwing for 40 touchdowns and 5,000 yards a season.
Mm-hmm.
Brady was a guy who did not make mistakes. So basically Belichick has evolved from a guy who's a coach who won championship with defense to a coach that's winning championship with his quarterback. And I give him great credit for that. But take away Brady, take away Rodgers, take away the franchise quarterbacks, and let's see how they do. That's your true gauge on a great coach. That said, I do think McCarthy's one of the best five in football.
Rick, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much. Best of luck this week, and I hope to run into you in Minneapolis on Radio Row as well, okay?
I look forward to it, guys.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Rick Gosselin. You can follow him on Twitter. He's fantastic stuff. At Rick Gosselin, G-O-S-S-E-L-I-N 9, at Rick Gosselin 9 on Twitter. He's, and I'm not kidding. There are coaches and there are organizations that he comes out with his special teams rankings and then ranks players in different positions at different things. There are people, he is so well respected as a columnist. Now, he writes down in Dallas, but he has his own website, talkoffame.com. But there are literally general managers, when they write deals, that will look at his stuff and say, if you make the Gosselin top 10 or the Gosselin top 20 or whatever it happens to be, then we will give you a bonus based upon what Rick, because he analyzes football so well. So you talk about a guy that is well-respected and a guy that knows his stuff and has really paid attention and put it together, okay? Originally from Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan. Graduated from St. Ambrose High School, Michigan State University, even though I know MSU has got some really bad publicity right now with the Gosser thing, or with the Nasser thing. But he is so good with the Dallas Morning News that there is that much respect for him. We can only say that maybe short of like when Bob McGinn was with that committee, that Rick Gosselin is heard, and finally Jerry Kramer, before it becomes posthumously, that finally Jerry Kramer gets a chance to go into the Football Hall of Fame. Cross your fingers. That guy is the guy presenting Jerry. He's fantastic. Fantastic. If Jerry doesn't get after this, I don't know what hope Jerry has, to be honest with you. I really don't. Because the guys that have actually seen him play or really kind of covered those teams or the guys that understand and realize what the Lombardi-era Packers meant to football, they're not there anymore. They're dying off, or they're just retiring, and they're not presenting anymore. This is probably Jerry's last shot. Cross your fingers. More of the Bill Michael Show next. Welcome back. Bill Michael Show on the air. What a good show today. I don't usually say that. I mean, you walk away from shows and you say, that was pretty good. That was fun, this and that. You know, you have good discussions. Today was just freaking fantastic on a lot of levels. Today was Rick Goslin just, he kind of puts the cherry on the parfait, so to speak. The great discussion that everybody had and everybody's input on the Mike McCarthy, Bill Belichick coaching thing. That was only going to go for maybe 15 minutes and ended up turning into almost an hour and a half. That was fantastic. Paul Charchian, great as always. Aaron Nagler, great breakdown regarding the Green Bay Packers. Talked some Bucks with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer earlier today. Hearing from both Mike Pettine and Joe Philbin today, it's just good stuff. You just walk away going, damn, that was it right there. That was it right there. 855-830-8648. Our buddy Nathan, who listens to us down in Virginia, says, hey, I want you to challenge everybody, every one of the callers and the listeners on this. We were talking about Mike McCarthy and Bill Belichick and Mike McCarthy's coaching ability and all that kind of stuff. People that are complaining that about Mike McCarthy and want him gone because he was only successful because of Favre and Rodgers. Ask those people to do their own job without the most important tool that they have and see how successful they will be. How much are they? Are they scrambling to stay above water? That's from Nathan. I don't know if you can compare it apples to oranges, but it's somewhat of an understandable comparison. I do get where it is you're coming from. So I don't agree with all of it, but I get it. I get what you're trying to say. A lot of people chiming in today. Johnny B just tweets us, @Bill_Michael says, Goslin was awesome. Thanks for stumping for Jerry. Kevin says, go back to the third down statistics. It's not third and one, but it seems like third and 14 kills them every time. Third and 14 is difficult for every team, not just for the Green Bay Packers. So, just so you know, man, it's, you know. Jason says the Packers can't convert on third and one and can't stop at third and 11. That's a bad combo. Jason, I went through the numbers already. Not even doing this with you. Not even doing this with you. When Mike McCarthy gave up the play calling, they were 23rd in the league. Every other year since 2010, they have been top 10 in third down conversions. In only three of those years, they've been outside of top five. So I don't know what you're talking about. You need to go back and look at the numbers when it talks about overall conversion rates. So, you know, again, if it's a conversion rate that you don't like, that's on an odd-numbered day and an odd-numbered month that doesn't end in a Y or something, I have no idea what else it is you're talking about. I mean, you can get into any statistic in that area and look at it and twist it into any way you want, but I don't know how to make it. Tom says, how about those Brewers? He said the Mike McCarthy stuff is mind-numbing with the idiotic comments coming in. Good coach. Why can't people just understand that? Keith says, I've always thought Mike McCarthy was a good coach, not a great coach, until you started putting some of the numbers in perspective. If he wins another Super Bowl, I would say that, yes, Mike McCarthy will be a Hall of Fame coach. People need to go look and dig a little bit deeper the way you did today to understand what it is we have in our own backyard. Just because they don't win the Super Bowl every year doesn't mean you have to fire him every year. Zach says, while I believe that Mike McCarthy is a good coach, I don't think he is a great coach. I think he has done a lot of great things to motivate his guys. I also think that we have to look at Ted Thompson in hand and say, has Ted given him all of the talent? The year that Bill Belichick went 11-5 with Matt Castle, don't forget they also had a top five ranked defense. People tend to leave that out. Belichick was good because he was able to scheme defensively against other teams and hand the ball back to Castle more often than not. They were also top 10 in turnovers. Why people can't get past Bill Belichick being a genius just because he had Matt Castle is beyond me, but that's where people want to go. I didn't even realize that. If his numbers are true, if they were a top 10 defense and top 5 in turnovers, yeah, you know, heck, if the Packers were top 10 in defense and top 5 in turnovers this year, they'd probably go 500. They'd probably go 500 with Brett Hundley because you could take some more chances. You can air it out right away. He makes a mistake. You got a defense that can back you up. I didn't realize that. If those numbers are true, I didn't realize that. Absolutely. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk about, are the Brewers one legitimate pitcher away? We didn't get into that today, but I want to talk about that. Dan Plesac yesterday, Major League Baseball, said they're only one good pitcher away. We want to get into that. We're loaded tomorrow. Joe Miller from The Zone, our buddy Ebo and Joe, the Joe and Ebo show, he's going to join us. Adam McAlvey, covering the Brewers and running for Brewers.com, is going to be here. The voice of the Spartans, Will Thiemann, is going to join us. We got a lot to talk about with him, not only on the court, but off the court. Eric Baranchek, Paul Imig, they're going to be here, and then we head over to Minneapolis, St. Paul.
And Mike Clemens will also be on tomorrow.
Mike Clemens is going to be here. We're just going to talk travel reservations. What we got going
on? He's got
on.
A lot of good stuff on Pettin and Philbin.
Yes, he
so
does.
So I look forward to that.
There's some good discussions there. I'm geeked about that as well. And then we head to Minneapolis. Time for us to go. Great stuff today. Bring it again tomorrow. Have a good one. Trip!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.